Welcome to the Kay Thompson Live
Blog
Show.
Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Kay Thompson Live Show. Today is September the 10th, 2011. My name is Eric Payne. I am the son. And you are?
I am Kay Thompson. I am the mother.
All righty.
Of you.
The mother of me. we went to an event the other day, the Kay Thompson Live Show. Before we get to that, Ma, I want to talk about or just mention, you know, some of the obviously stuff in the news.
Yeah, hot topic.
The Ray Rice situation is something that's really unfortunate there. And also, I think this is our other co-host, Mr. Wayne Gilman. Wayne, you're on, Mr. Gilman. Caller. Let me move. Okay, there you go, Wayne. All right,
yeah,
how you doing?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right, I'm sorry I'm a little late.
That's all right. It was only a second or two, so you're promptly.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah.
How are you, Wayne?
So how's everyone going there? And I didn't get a chance to hear the beginning because I'm just rushing to the phone now.
That's okay. We're just starting up.
We just got in, and as a matter of fact, we were just starting on the show, and we were getting ready to talk about some of these hot topics, especially with the fact that the president is going to be speaking in just about a few minutes.
Well, in about 60 minutes, actually, talking about
right.
Our strategy is going to be towards this newfound terrorist group. I don't know how newfound it is, but and then there's the Ray Rice situation, the new developments in that. And the various other current events, things going on. We're coming up on election season, midterm elections for a lot of people. I know you guys have is it election day over there, or was it yesterday, or is it election day next week over there in New York, Wayne?
No. We had yesterday the primary election. Of course, Cuomo faced a challenge from a young upstart. Her name is Teach Out. She's a professor, a law school professor at Columbia University. And very articulate, very refreshing, and it's always good to hear these sharp, young, progressive minds speak. And then once they get in and see the colossal problems that they're faced with, I don't know, when I hear her speak, I'm reminded of what Obama planned to do when he became president back in 2007, campaigning and all that. And I'm not saying that he's capitulated to the right, but, you know, I think he's realized by all the newfound gray hair in his head that being the president of these United States is not easy. You know, but I'm grateful for his presidency, and I'm grateful for his election. I am so disgusted with the level of disgrace that he suffers from some elements of our American society. And I know he's catching a lot of criticism now over the ISIS, or ISIL, or whatever you call these people, situation.
Interrupt you, Wayne. Did you know that Dick Cheney, you know, jumped into the whole fray? And naturally, he's criticizing Obama, and he will continue to. I don't even know why they even had him on. And I'll tell you another thing that we're going to be talking about. There's a couple other things we're going to be talking about. You know, there's new clashes going on in Ferguson in Missouri. So we're going to have to find out about
it.
Plus the fact that there are protests in Newark by the students. The students are demonstrating against some of the schools. They don't like the changes. That's happening all the time by the superintendent, Tommy Anderson, and et cetera, et cetera. There's so many things to be talking about.
Okay.
I missed that part. I'm sorry. I've been so busy trying to, unfortunately, not to get personal, rent an apartment in New Rochelle, anybody looking for a three-bedroom. But the deal is that my problem is that, you know, I've been overwhelmed and bombarded with Ray Rice and then people criticizing Obama. I didn't even know about Dick Cheney. I didn't think Dick Cheney was still alive.
Yeah, I didn't either, but he's very much alive.
You know, when you make a deal with the devil, you know.
I guess so.
So, you know, there's getting back to your point about a lot of people running for office. That's what they say. You know, there's the campaign, and then there's time to govern, and it's a very different thing when it comes time to govern because then you have to you gotta kind of have to work with a consensus. You know how it is. You have to
right.
kind of build to build a consensus. And the unfortunate thing that should be inherent, that you would assume that's inherent in governing, is that everybody's going to realize that, and everybody's going to work for the greater good and come together and try to do the best possible thing for the broadest cross-section of their citizens. But as we know, the Republicans and the other guys don't really follow that school of thought.
Well, fortunately, you know, we have a congressman over here that we all know quite well, and that's Congressman Donald Payne. As a matter of fact, he had an affair that was what the women for Donald Payne. You know, had an affair last Saturday. And by the way, I want to say something about Donald. When we're talking about, you know, this ISIS, and the fact that the United States is really in great danger, let's face it, anytime you're talking about an organization who's beheading people, it's time to really wake up, do something, and get rid of them. And also, Choppy, that we call him, Donald Payne Jr., is a member of the Committee of Homeland Security, where he is a ranking member of the Subcommittee on Emergency Preparedness, Response, and Communications, as well as the Subcommittee on Oversight and Management Efficiency. So he's right in the midst of this conversation.
Right.
Am I right, Eric?
Right, and you started to talk about the breakfast.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to continue on that, but it was a nice event, nice turnout on Saturday.
Right.
Just this past Saturday, the Women for Payne Committee sponsored a breakfast for Congressman Donald Payne, Jr. It was a very successful fundraiser. Second annual one. There were also some awardees there.
Yep.
That received community awards. So congratulations to them. Three awardees were Miss Trish Morris-Yamba from Essex County, and Kim Nesbitt Good from Union County, and Eleanora Watson from Hudson County. And they were the honorees for outstanding community service recognized by Congressman Payne, as well as the keynote speaker was a woman named Micheline Davis, who gave an excellent speech. So it was really a great event and successful event, and we had a good time. And
did Sheila Oliver, who is the in the Assembly, who is the Speaker of the House.
Former Speaker of the House.
New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
Former Speaker of the House, African-American woman.
That's
dynamite.
That's right.
And we're also going to be having a younger Assemblywoman calling in, I hope, and that's Gracie Spencer.
Right.
And she's
right.
Relatively new.
And we just, on that same note, we want to let anybody know that wants to call in and take part in this discussion, that we can be reached at 323-679-0906. Once again, that's 323-679-0906. We want everybody to know that you can also listen to archived shows that you might have missed or that you might just like to listen to over and over again because the discussion was so good. And that can be done if you go to blogtalkradio.com/KThompsonLive. So it's blogtalkradio.com/KThompsonLive. You can go directly to our page and listen to our show. You don't have to go to other websites and click on the link and then get redirected. This is a direct link now, and that's how we're broadcasting our show. We've kind of streamlined things a little bit more. So just continue
Eric,
on that.
Eric, I hate to interrupt. If I might, I just want to take a minute. I have to commend you. I've been listening to this signal the last two or three times we've been on compared to the other place that you guys were affiliated with, and this sounds so clean, so clear, so crisp, that I even wonder why you all were where you were, if you don't mind me saying.
That's a good question, and you make things a little bit more streamlined, and we're glad that the signal is strong and it's clear and stuff like that, and right on to the other situation and the other entity.
Sure.
But sometimes you got to do your own thing and go your own way, and that's we felt that was best for us, certainly.
And we really thank them for, us being on so long, as a matter of fact, because it was introduced through, the other station. However, one thing, I really want to get to President Obama speaking tonight. You know, so many people are hoping that he can come out with some real serious, solutions, if not solutions, programs, or put us in the direction of getting rid of this organization, ISIS. anytime you have an organization, not even an organization, it's like a movement, and thousands of people actually killing and beheading people and beheading Americans, that makes me nervous.
Wayne, you want to get in here? I just want to make a point real quick.
Well, I tell you, what amazes me about it is that they're attracting Americans.
Yeah.
I'm astounded every time I go on the internet and I see another, you know, what seemed to be a normal American person suddenly being recruited by this organization. I didn't know there was so much hate for people who live in this country to attack the very people who make this place great, you know, with all of its scars and you know, frailties and things like that. You know, and I was talking the other day with one of my friends, and he was so distraught about Obama's take on the situation with ISIL, thinking that we've waited too long to respond. And I think, you know, Obama is a strategist, and I think he wants to come up with the right formula in which to deal with this situation. Anyone who's sitting back thinking that, you know, he's just going to turn around, mouth a few words, and talk about how somebody went after his daddy and just drop a bomb, I don't think Obama's about that. You know, I think Obama sits down, he analyzes all aspects of the situation and thinks about doing things that are going to be cost-effective. And, of course, we don't want to be engaged in another war. But this situation with ISIL or ISIS, whatever they call themselves, is so serious because, you know, the manner, the barbaric nature of what it is that they do to get everyone's attention.
But, you know, the beheading, that's kind of a customary way that they distributed capital punishment in those countries, as barbaric as it is. You can go to YouTube now and see, I saw a beheading in Saudi Arabia of someone getting beheaded, and it wasn't one of these situations. It wasn't by a terrorist. It was a capital punishment situation where the person was sentenced to be beheaded, death by beheading. So up until recently, that seemed to be a part of their capital punishment system. And so that's why I guess some of these other people adopt that, because that's what they do. And it is a barbaric, terrorizing thing. What my mom made a good point, and other points have been made, that this is what these people believe. For whatever reason, they've warped their belief and try to attach it to some parts to Islam and things like that. But when you have people who believe that and talk about and have the willingness to kill themselves just as long as they take you out too, it makes you really have to reassess what you really believe in. And what I mean when I say that is, if you really believe in some of the tactics that sometimes those who speak on your behalf or your nation or your states or your team, if you want to put it that way, those who speak on your behalf, if you really believe in those tactics, and I'm not saying that they've been justified. I'm the main person said if you come after some of ours, we should step on you. But also, too, it's about the minds and the hearts. So enough bombs being dropped, you're just going to kill off generations, but that curse is still going to be there, where that next generation is always going to remember that and always hate you. So it has to be about the minds and the hearts and making the appeal and understanding these people around the world that America is not your enemy. We're not the great Satan. We're not the one who comes and rapes your country's resources and puts you in things, although it seems like that in some cases, you know. So that is a way that we have to capture these people's minds. Some of these people don't understand. These people always want to go to war. You can't kill it off. You know, Martin Luther King said, you know, about something about if you want to take an eye for an eye, that only ends up leaving both people blind.
Yeah.
And you can't find your way to justice. And I'm paraphrasing, you know, and that's the thing. It leaves one man with wanting vengeance. So that's why those generational tribal wars have gone on, and United States we need to understand, and that goes back to what you're saying about President Obama. It's not reactionary like some of these other cats want to. Let's just go get them. Let's kill them all, because that's a certain mentality that makes another people less than you, less than human. See, that's the kind of a
right.
You know, that they coined the phrase a cowboy American mentality. I think it's not really a cowboy mentality. I think it's more of a racist mentality.
Thank you.
Because you look down on other people of the world that might not look at you, and your first thing is, let's go get them and wipe them all out. You know? Why is that the first reaction that you have? Because unless you feel that they're less than, unless you feel that they don't deserve the same things, or they're not your equal. So therefore, and that reflects, then when you have that mentality, that reflects in your foreign policy, when you have somebody in office who thinks like that, you know? So it all, to coin a phrase of a great American, semi-great, trickles down.
Mm.
So to me, I just make that observation.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You know, and another thing we have to really think about, too, is what's going on in the school system, all right? Now, this thing ISIS is really, really, it's mind-boggling. It's terrible to think that you can actually have another group of people from another country wanting to do really serious damage to the United States with the World Trade Center. We saw that, and it was so frightening. It was horrifying. And so Obama is to make a speech about this tonight, and he will write this, I'm quite sure, and I hope he doesn't listen to any of these idiots who are encouraging him to go one way when they don't know the whole situation. The President of the United States has more information than they do. So, therefore, he is the President. You have to trust in a person who has the information. He's going to move in the right direction for the people of the United States, for us, for Americans. So what more do you want? So when Dick Cheney gets on there and he is so negative, what is the point of that?
There's no point other than to bring the president down. I like what you said, Wayne, about him being a strategist because he, you know, you don't get to be a constitutional professor, constitutional lawyer,
right.
education, without being intelligent and taking your time and thinking about the facts to make before you make your decisions. And, you know, none of them, they talk about let's hold a vote to give the president authorization. Some of them don't want to hold the vote because they don't want to be on the record because then they would be trapped into having to respond one way or another. So it's really interesting to see how they're going to react. And we have a caller on the line. Maybe the caller wants to get in on this discussion. I'm going to cue your mic caller at that 204. Oh, we lost the caller. I guess you kind of hung up there. Caller, if you can call back, we'll try you again. And if you're calling from a cell phone, I would encourage you. If you can call from a landline, it's just a little bit better connection. But to go back to your point, Wayne, about it, he really is a strategist and wants to make an educated, as much of an educated decision as you can. And it's bizarre how some people think there's something wrong with that.
Well, you see, that's the thing. I mean, we are so used, and I'd say based on what the previous administration used to do, on this hair-trigger demeanor to react to things. And then, of course, those elements out there in the media that support that philosophy would drive the point home with Americans. It's only a matter of time before they realize the consequences of their statements and actions. I mean, to me, you just don't start another war. No other sitting American president has ever gone through the amount of conflicts that Obama has gone through. Name one. Tell me. Bush 1 and 2 never suffered this. Clinton never suffered the kind of worldwide bombardment that Americans have been going through. And the deal is, even the flip-flopping of some of our allies. Sometimes one country's with us, another time they're against us. It depends on what the agenda is. Look what goes on in Ukraine. I mean, what happened with Putin and all that business. You know, I mean, the thing is, it's amazing how this man has managed to keep this balancing act for so long. And then the deal is, if we go to war, if they put boots on the ground, the next thing that's going to come out of the other side is that, oh, I thought we weren't going to have another war. I thought we weren't going to do this and do that. And look what he's done. He's put us back in war. And the deal is that it seems like catch 22, you can't win either way, you know?
And those will be the same people are going to say, look what he did, are the same ones now that are calling for him, calling him weak. They'll call for boots on the ground. Let there be some casualties, which is going to be a definite anytime there's war, right? Let the first casualties come in, And I guarantee you, these are the same individuals that are telling them, calling them weak and this and that. They'll be the first ones to turn around and blame him for those casualties, Americans' lives being lost. I guarantee you that, because that's
exactly
what they. Because it's not really about the lives of other rank and file Americans. It's about how these guys can play their little checker game, because they're trying to play they're playing a checker game, and Obama is really playing a chess game. That's why they really can't get to him the way they want. And they just end up, so they have to make up the truth. They have to make up these facts. They have to get TV stations,
yeah,
the whole TV networks manufactured to have their whole thing out. Because you let the public decide. Let the truth be told.
Look, let's be real about this thing. You know, the reason why Obama is getting all this flack and has been ever since he was elected president, and you hate to keep talking about race, you have to talk about race because race exists in this country.
Yeah.
Okay, black versus white. There are so many people, you know, of a different hue that cannot stand the fact that there is a black man, an African-American man, you know, who may have some other stuff mixed in there, as we all do, but they cannot stand a person of color being president of the United States. Well, tough. Is he doing a good job? Is he really moving ahead? Even with all the stuff that's being, you know, hurled at him and the names that they call him. And they even pick on Michelle Obama, and they even pick on the kids. Now, you know, and the African-Americans stand for that. If they think that we're just, if racism is so, you know, deep in this country with some of these people, it's absolutely amazing. I don't know when they're going to get it out of their systems, but, you know, I don't think they really can. I think there's an evilness that some people just have inside because they don't like one people for one reason or another. And now you also have, you know, a lot of people, you know, who are anti-Mexicans coming in the country, anti-immigrants coming into the country. What the heck is going on? Mm-hmm. This country was built on immigrants.
Well, those people have always been anti-Mexican.
Boy,
they're not just now becoming anti. They're just making their wishes really. You know, I just saw yesterday on the news, speaking about what you were talking about them attacking Michelle, Mom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think an Idaho congressman was talking about the administration's attack on the potato. And this guy was talking about that the Obama administration has an attack on a war on the potato because Michelle commented on an article saying that the potatoes shouldn't be included in the WIC program, you know, the supplemental kind of nutrition program, because potatoes aren't really can't be considered vegetable because the nutritional value is not that high. So, and she was just commenting on, you know, kind of the nutritional experts, and saying, you know, it should be more greens and stuff like that. So this Republican congressman twisted it around to say the administration has a war on the potato, and Michelle Obama and got on the president's wife. And this is what they do. They just make and twist things up.
But what happened?
And don't even and ignore the facts. It's Obama's arrangement
syndrome. What happens is that some of these people in Congress, you know, are really comedians. Because when you think of some of the stupid things that they say, Michelle Obama's an attorney.
Right.
President Obama is an attorney.
Well, it makes you ask, when you hear some of these people speak, and you meet them, I've met a couple, it makes you wonder, well, how did they get elected?
Yeah.
You know, it's like Wayne, it's like I don't know about you, but when I was coming up, sometimes some people didn't want to be on the student government council.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes you get made to be on the student government council. And it's almost like in certain parts of the country, nobody wants to hold elected office unless they're made to. And the person that usually ends up getting the office is that idiotic person. how the hell did this person get elected? What kind of idiots would elect this person? But then you realize not everybody likes politics and they don't want to deal with the mess. So they're like, nobody wants to run, so they can't get the best person for the job.
I think there are plenty of qualified people out there. I'm sorry, did you say something, Kay?
So when are you running for president?
Oh, please. With my background? No, I'm sorry. All they need to do is call two ex-girlfriends, and I'm toast. But the deal is that
you're one of those people that I was talking about. that way. And I look at my mom while she did the follow-up question as if you were one of those people. That's not to say you're one of those people.
Yeah, maybe. But you know what? I hold the American people accountable. There are a lot of qualified people like yourself, Eric, and your mom. And, you know, certainly your cousin has done an admirable job as a congressman, and then he's had all that history to follow him, you know. So, you know, it was an easy, seamless transition, but still the same. You know, the deal is that, you know, I applaud people who take it seriously enough. I had an uncle, God rest him, my father's brother. He used to drill in my head that even going into the bathroom is political. Everything is political. And the deal is that it's true. We cannot afford to take anything for granted. And too many of us will just sit there and wait for an incident to occur or something that offends us before we get active. It's important to be proactive. And I think that's the one thing. I'm guilty of it. I sometimes get caught up in my own little world, my own little crisis. You know, your mother's been my Dr. Phil the last 6 months. And the deal is that, you know, I mean, I'm not, I know my bill is high with you, Kay, and I intend to repay you one day, but the deal is that, you know, sometimes you have to see more than just what goes on in your little circle, because we're all going through the same mess, you know, in some way, shape, or form, you know?
Wayne, look, I have to say this, Wayne, when you were news director over at WLIBBLS, it was a fine, wonderful newsroom, okay? And it was run smoothly, you know, that I didn't know anything about the news doing the news before, but it became second, you know, nature to me after I started that. I was involved very much with education. And, boy, but no, you as a news director of a huge place like that, I don't know how you did it. I don't know how you kept your wits sometimes.
Appreciate that, and I have to say that I stand on the shoulders of other people who followed David Lampel is one, and I have to also acknowledge, because I didn't get to do that last week, but we just lost Joe Bragg. You know, he had been former City Hall bureau chief for not just BLS and WLIB, but he worked for the old WHN and KISS FM, and regrettably, I was not in a position to go to his funeral, but I just heard about his passing last week. And an hour ago, I heard another colleague of ours, Kay, died. Holly Thomas used to do the Caribbean programming WLIB years ago. Holly, I don't know the circumstances. I just got a call from Claude Tate, who told me about Holly's passing this afternoon. So... Mm-hmm. You know, the deal is that, like you and others, I mean, for me to work with you, I had to get my game in order because, you know, you had tons of experience before I got started. And the thing is that I look forward, I wish in a way that, you know, the industry was of such that we could pass the baton and the mantle on to other people, but the nature of the game has changed so much now. And the level of decadence that goes on, you know, it just seems like we're continuing to dumb down the American public. And that's why a lot of these jerks get elected, because there are a lot of people who are misinformed. And they say, oh, yeah, you know, if that happened, then it must be true, without really evaluating the facts, you know, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true. And I think also the Internet, unfortunately, has opened people up to being misinformed, because it doesn't take anything for anyone to have a blog or something, and they can promote the half-educated information. And that's why doctors will tell you, okay, don't believe everything you read on the Internet, because, you know, a lot of people try to self-diagnose themselves through things, and you know, doctors will say, stop reading the Internet, because you don't have the... People don't have the ability to decipher things. You know, we got our caller back, the 204 number. Caller, I'm going to cue you in, see if you can get through. Go ahead, caller. You're on the line.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Is that who I
yes,
think
it is? It is. It's Assemblywoman Spencer from the 29th District in the city of Newark. Hi, how are you guys doing?
Fine.
Oh,
how are you?
Good evening.
I'm doing well. I was listening to the show, and the last thing I heard was, you know, the gentleman saying that people dumb down and we have to be more proactive. And as an assemblywoman, one of the things that I'm trying to and hopefully I'll be successful at it, is be proactive in making sure that certain things happen in my community that affect my people or the people that I represent, so that they're not dumbing down and they're not relying on just internet stuff, but they're able to take advantage of things in the community. And some of those things involve, you know, making sure that when we talk about expungements, that it's not costing people who don't have a job, it's not costing them to get their records expunged. In today's society, you know, we live in a point, click, and delete world. There's no reason why it should cost people $200 or more to have their records expunged. And then when we talk about transportation, buses don't go everywhere in the metropolitan area, and we need to make sure that surcharges and things like that that are keeping people from getting their licenses, that those, too, are eliminated. Just as we do amnesty days for misdemeanors and other crimes, I think it's time that we proactively look and fight for amnesty days for surcharges so that people can get their license back, so that they can travel across the state of New Jersey and get jobs.
Right.
Assemblywoman Spence, is an excellent representative. And Grace, that's such a great point, because those are things that systematically seem to target minority communities, right? A lot of those surcharges
In minority community, the things that affect us more than anything else are things that cost money, and we can't get jobs because of basic things like our criminal records and simple transportation. There's no reason why people should say, I can't get a job because I can't travel to the job. There's no reason why a person who committed a crime 20 years ago and has had a record that has been clean and spotless for 20 years can't get a job for a crime they committed at 21 when they weren't thinking straight.
Exactly.
And also, too, as it relates to voting. And now, will correct me, I'm sure. How is it with folks who have come out and been arrested in terms of are they eligible to vote in New Jersey? Is that a state law that people who come out of incarceration can get voting rights back?
People who are not on parole are eligible to vote. But I want to take it one further. In some states, people who are in jail are allowed to vote. I believe that people who are incarcerated in our state, they too should have a right to vote, because their dollars are counted when it comes down to federal dollars and federal dollars for prisons and federal dollars for other services that come into the state. And I think their vote should count as well, and it should count in the community in which they are situated, or better yet, perhaps it should be the community in which they've come from. But the voting right, people should have the right to vote. I'm not comfortable with a lot of the laws that are in effect here in the state of New Jersey, and proactively I'm going to work to change them during the next year and a half of my term.
Terrific.
Now let me just ask you a quick follow-up question, because that's something you mentioned something I never knew. You're saying that these people that are incarcerated in our state are counted in terms of taxes and federal dollars, right? They're using them as part of that count, right?
As part of the census count, that is correct.
So then, of course, if you're going to use them as part of the count to get those federal dollars, then you should. It's your responsibility to give them their right. It's like you're using their accessibility and their humanness to get those rights, but then you're stripping those rights from them. That's kind of like that crazy prison pipeline, that prison labor thing that a lot of these prisons are doing, you know, where they're using the cheap prison labor. To produce
that's correct.
And there are
states out there that allow prisoners to vote, and I think New Jersey should become one of them.
Of course, and we're going in that direction. Let me ask you something about the educational system, and Wayne, you can weigh in on this also. Now, I did a show with Ann Alexander, you know, who is a mediator and an excellent educator, one of the top educators in New Jersey, as a matter of fact. And she is, she was analyzing core curriculum and the different educational systems or the additional educational programs that the local superintendent, Tommy Anderson, has been going through. And she was explaining our show on January 8th, 2014, and everybody should listen in. Well, our show is our archive, so listen to Ann Alexander explain the core curriculum, assessment readiness, you know, with all those different kind of titles, you know, then she can explain them one by one and also why they are in place. Common Core, which is the state curriculum standards, and the high quality. New Jersey adopted these things in 2010. And there are 45-plus state and lists. I can't even read my own writing here. And, for instance, with the core curriculum, that means that all students must know, must learn certain skills by, you know, for jobs at a certain level, at a certain grade level.
Right.
So what's going on? How do you feel about the educational system, especially in Newark?
Well, here in the city of Newark, there are many issues that are confronting our students and our parents. And I'm not sure if you're aware, but this year, starting in September of this year, actually a couple of days ago, Newark began its One Newark plan, and what it resulted in was students being reassigned to schools all across the city of Newark. Some parents are some parents are dropping their children off at a bus site at 6:40 a.m. for their child to be transported to another end of the city. For example, children in the South Ward are being transported all the way to the North Ward, and it takes up to 45 minutes to an hour to get there. The core curriculum, the state did adopt it. However, there have been many problems with the core curriculum, and since the state has adopted it, as well as other states, legislators have come out saying that it's not the best thing for our kids. There are many aspects of the core curriculum that I don't fully understand, and I'm not fully aware of. But certainly I think that before we even get to core curriculum, we need to make sure that children are attending schools that are equipped and ready to prepare them for a lifetime, you know, for their livelihood down the road. And I don't think that the schools here in the city of Newark are ready for that. So before they can even begin to institute a core curriculum, the schools need to be up to par, and kids don't need to travel 45 minutes from one end of the city to the other to attend another school that's not succeeding. You know, we need to address our failing schools. What's going to be happening with that?
Yeah, because
some of the students
are demonstrating today, and some of them, have closed down a few of the schools. So they have the right to know exactly what's going on with the educational system and with their futures.
They do have a right, and these children have done a lot. And certainly when the One North plan was introduced early last year, parents and students, when they heard about what was going to happen, they were very vocal in it, and they remained vocal throughout the summer, identifying problems and issues with the program or with the plan. And certainly a lot of the issues and concerns came to fruition. And, you know, what's going to happen still remains unclear. We have a superintendent that's not wanted in this city by the local officials, by state officials. We're fighting a battle, and it's an uphill battle, but we're going to continue to fight it.
That's great.
Wasn't
to hear.
That One Newark plan the inspiration of Governor Christie?
No, the One Newark plan was the brainchild of Cammy Anderson. Cammy Anderson is appointed by our governor, and she has
I knew there was a connection
of
to his
our governor.
Office.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Connection.
I mean, the city of Newark is a state-operated school district, which means that we do not have local control. Our superintendent is appointed by the governor.
Grace, just for people like me who don't fully understand the One Newark, can you briefly give a brief description of how Ms. Anderson, what's her One Newark?
What the One Newark plan did was students who were in one school, they had an opportunity to either remain at that school or to select 8 schools that they wanted to be considered with, and they ranked them 1 through 8. Beginning in July, they were notified as to what schools they would be reassigned to. The children and the parents were under the impression that the schools that were that there were several schools that were available to them and that they would be considered for them. Unfortunately, that was not the case. Many parents selected high-ranking charter schools throughout the state of New Jersey, and they did not get them. Many parents who filled out eight schools, they did not get any of the 8 schools, and a school was randomly selected for them.
What was the reason?
There wasn't any room. Some of the top-ranking charter schools are Phillip Academy, North Star Academy. These schools have waiting lists. They had students that were there, and as I said, parents were allowed to children were allowed to remain at the schools they were in. And so for her to include potentially would not be available gave people a false sense of hope. And a lot of the parents who were upset about it, that was one of the main reasons they were upset, because now their children are being sent to schools across town when they would have preferred for their child to remain at a school that was located across the street.
So if they could...
Woman, I would just like to, if I might, I'm in New York, so I'm trying to get a gist of what's going on over there. What is the prevailing sentiment about the charter school system in Jersey and in Newark in particular?
The sentiments with regards to charter school is split. Some of them are good, some of them are not, just like our public schools. Some of them are succeeding, some of them are failing. A lot of the parents are under the impression that charter schools are better than public schools, but that's not often the case. There are many public schools here in the city of Newark that are doing extremely well. Ridge Street School, Ann Street School, First Avenue School, they're doing extremely well. And then there are some schools that are failing, and the same is, like I said, the same is true for our charter school. One of the things that I fight with constantly is making sure that we do not sacrifice our public schools for the sake of creating a charter school. 90% of our kids will always be in public school, and one of the things that Ms. Anderson has been trying to do is integrate more charter schools into our public school system. Eventually, it appears her goal is to eliminate the public schools, but at the end of the day, a lot of our children are still going to be in public schools, and we need to make sure they are the best that they can be with the monies that's provided through the state.
Absolutely.
And I completely agree with you. I never liked that charter school notion of a talented tenth, so to speak, at the sacrifice of the public school. And I completely agree with your assessment of it, Assemblywoman, that we should still maintain the quality of our schools and not allow this to become some sort of class system of education.
I agree, Eric. I agree. One of our star public schools is Science Park. A young man, Aaron Wade, came out of Science Park last year. He's one of the first to be to attend Air Force Academy on a full ride. And these are the things that we have in our public schools that we should be proud of, and we should be celebrating and encouraging students to come to our public schools. And we need to continue that tradition. We need to continue the tradition that Newark students do succeed, and they succeed in our public schools.
That's right. That's right. And those are all things that draw people to the city.
Yeah.
You know, when you have an excellent public school system, and that's one of the things. And of course, it's all the other quality of life issues that go along with it. But those are things that will draw people to the city of Newark. Obviously, educational opportunities, public safety, and things like that. But that's one of the spokes in the wheel that obviously representatives and folks like leaders like yourself are trying to build. Let me get your opinion while we have you with us about another issue that's in the news, and you know, it's that hot topic, that red hot topic. I'm going to talk about sports and the Ray Rice issue.
Yeah.
And from a legislature standpoint, what do you think about the scenario? Before we get into the emotional side, and you and my mother here have the female perspective.
I was ready for you to get to that.
Female perspective.
Right.
But what do you think?
From a I think that just as we have laws that deny PTI for animal abuse or for abusing animals, we need to limit PTI for those individuals that are convicted for certain domestic violence crimes or certain crimes against human beings, and not just not just women, but seniors, children. Certain crimes PTI should not be made available for them. PTI is pretrial intervention, and it's available to those individuals who have never been involved in the criminal justice system. If you do not have a record, if you've never been arrested for anything, then the court considers whether or not you'll be eligible for pretrial intervention. And what it normally does is it sort of puts you on a probation. You have to go through a certain period of time where you do not get into any kind of trouble. You have to go through some kind of counseling. And if you do everything that you're supposed to do, then basically the crime will be removed from your record. Or later on it can be, it'll disappear from your record.
I see. Well, now let me take the turn to it and ask you, Ma, from an emotional standpoint, from what women in relationships, what's your take? Because
if a woman allows that, you know, because apparently this was done before, I would imagine, or I've heard. If a woman allows that, then she's got to take some of the blame, okay?
Mm. You've got to say no. You've got to stand up and fight. You got to do something. You got to be proactive.
Happens. Wait a minute. Once it happens, that's it. Mm. You know, you go to court, you do what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But for women, because of, you know, they're so in love that they're going to take all kind of battering, that's insanity, you know?
Right.
So I'm not blaming her. I'm blaming him because he should know better. He should be able to control himself. He's a pain in the butt. Now, well, no, but she's not going to be doing that. I don't know why. Is he making a lot of money? You know, they're making a lot of money. He's one of the top football players, I understand.
Right.
Okay? So it's a two-way street, but at the same time, you should not put your hands on another person, period, especially
right.
a man versus a woman. Okay?
I agree with what Ms. Thompson is saying. And from the looks of it, from the look of the video, the initial couple of seconds when she walks past him, it looks as though he spat on her. And that alone would have sent me, you know, in another direction. I'm not getting on the elevator with you. You're going to spit on me? How degrading
right.
is that? And so the whole scenario, you know, his apparent lack of respect for her was just abominable, and I can't get over the NFL and the prosecutor saying that they did not have that tape at the time that PTI was considered or at the time that the NFL rendered its decision for a two-game decision. I can't believe that. Somebody's not telling the full truth.
That's right.
Right. Well, from what I understand, I think AP or some reporter found out that the NFL did have a tape and that they were aware of the horrific circumstances concerning that incident, but they kept their mouths shut. And let's face it, this is a money situation. This
yep.
guy, and you know, I'm in New Rochelle, he's been talked about greatly because he's a hometown hero. But, I mean, the deal is that what he did was despicable. And, it's one thing to just slap him on the wrist 2 weeks ago and just, you know, not see the tape. But to me, they should have come down hard then. Enough of this has been going on. It's been so prevalent, not just in that area of sports, but in all sorts of professional walks of life. And mm-hmm. it's unfortunate that it's tolerated. But I think on the flip side, you know, there's some people, and I hate to even harken back to my Caribbean roots, who grew up with a culture that it was okay to smack a woman because they saw their daddy do it.
Well, in the United States.
And that's the problem.
United States, about 50 years ago, you know, they act like it was okay, too. I mean, it turned away. I mean, to me, first off, these guys, you need to learn how to process your anger. You know, people need to learn
mm-hmm.
how to process anger. And obviously, when you get emotional, you have that love, hate. You love somebody, you hate them because your emotions are up. You need to learn how to process that anger. And there's a lot of people, certainly our community, young men, young women, young people that don't know how to process their anger, and they lash out and things like that. And there needs to be people that they need to learn how to process that anger because the very person that you flip out on is sometimes the very person that's closest to you because maybe you feel
yeah.
they've hurt, they can hurt you the easiest or whatever. But you need to process that anger because in that flash moment, you can have some very serious regrets after that flash moment. And that person that
exactly.
you love dearly is gone forever. So, and we all heard about those instances where people kill themselves after killing their spouse. I knew an actor.
Wow.
I considered him a friend. Most recently, you guys might have heard of him, an actor named Michael Jace. He played
right.
a nice little career, and he ended up killing his wife. And I can remember meeting the guy and knowing that he seemed like a decent guy, seemed like he was trying to find someone to settle down with, trying to get his life, trying to go to church and things like that, and just seemed like the nicest guy that I knew. And and to hear this horrible thing, and I met him and I met his wife, and, you know, they seemed to get along, and I understand he left his career, but wasn't able to process that anger. It got to the point where he didn't have any other answers. And I thought he was a nice guy. Another friend of mine who hung out with him a little bit more than I did said he saw some darkness in this individual.
So there you have it. I mean, two personal assessments of someone who committed that horrific crime. And I think that, to your point, Wayne, the NFL definitely knew what happened. But like you said, it's
right.
too much money. Ray was
exactly.
Ray Rice was too valuable to the Ravens. And the Ravens probably knew what happened, too. You could bet it. There's somebody there. You know, they got fixers, too, just like you see on these movies on TV, Ray Donovan or whoever you want, whatever other things you want to see. But they got people there that know about that, you know? And they knew that tape was and they knew exactly what he did. And I also saw a commentator said, once he did it, Dan Patrick today said, once he hit it and knocked his girlfriend out, he seemed to not even have remorse that he did. Like, oh, my God, what did I do? His posture was like, let me just drag her out the elevator. You know, so that is the NFL. And then, you know, you want these guys to be brutes and angry and all that stuff. And, you know, that's why I said people need to learn how to process their anger. And it's like you said, Grace, for anybody. You know, you shouldn't be any pretrial intervention for anybody that does violence to another human being, man, woman,
period.
Child, older, you know. That needs to be looked into. And our society needs to have a different approach about violence now with the Internet and what we do. We seem to think taking it to the fisticuffs is the normal thing or is the first thing to go to as opposed to trying to really look at that other person as a human being.
Yeah.
You know,
the other thing that bothers me about this case is the fact that today the wife got on the radio and television and started complaining about what the media had done with regard to exposing, you know, the depths of this incident. And, you know, there's some behavior modification problems with respect to her own. I don't know if it's a situation where she feels that, you know, because all these endorsements, the money will stop flowing and things like that. It's going to impact on their ability to sustain their marriage. But, you know, usually there should be someone there to at least anesthetize what goes on. Media has a responsibility to report. I'm not saying that it's always fair, but, I mean, the deal is if this didn't come out into the open, we couldn't hold the commissioner's feet to the fire because it's all about money when it with respect to that. But, you know, it pains me when I hear a wife, you know, who was the victim of this horrific crime, sit there and say and justify what goes on and blame some other entity because it's out in the open.
Right.
Yeah.
No, and I agree. Had he been strong enough to pick her up, carry her off the elevator into her room, none of this ever would have come to light until something more tragic had happened.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe that's God's intervention. You know, I mean, he could have been like the actor.
Him.
He could have. He could have killed her in the elevator. I mean, she could have hit her head the wrong way, and could have done that. And you know, a lot of times it seems like when you get the police officers, peacekeeping officers get called to homes, and this is taking place. And the husband and wife say, we're going to leave. Nobody wants to leave. You know, that's why I say people need to process their anger because what stymies our society with it is that women get into the Jeanne Rice mold. They still want to be with the guy that, you know, these people still want to be together and they have this kind of this crazy relationship. And until you can get to people how they process their anger, because people choose to stay with someone who's crazy like that or can't control themselves, and something worse ends up happening. And then the person ends up killing her wife or killing her husband, and they feel just as bad, and they kill themselves or whatever. But we need to, if there's a way that society can help to heal this kind of mental problem, this anger problem for some of these people, where it doesn't get to that point.
Well, let me ask you two men something. What do you think would have been a a fair, and I use that, you know, hesitantly, a fair response, to his, beating up his wife.
I think two games was like, you know, saying, well, we'll just hope. Two games sound like they were saying to me, hopefully it'll go away. We'll act like we're giving some lip service to this issue, and we'll appease our women fans. To me, automatic six games. Should have been, at the very least, six games. He should be out for half the season.
you know.
I think it should be more than that. I really think expulsion. I think this guy needs
if he was
some
kicked
sort
out
of,
the whole,
you know,
for me, I think that's fair. I mean,
I
at the very least.
I have something even better. She should try to knock him out. Period.
Well, yeah.
Period. That's it. You know, you get the biggest person you can, and you have him stand up in front of that person and have her direct that person and knock his head off.
Right.
Okay.
Well,
they should have started with the same sentence they gave Michael Vick. They should have started with that, the same type
right.
of suspension Michael Vick got for the animal, for the dog fighting. They
there
should have
you
started
go.
With that and gone up.
Exactly.
Right. They really set precedent with Michael Vick, and you know, I mean, he was doing something that in some cultures that's acceptable, dog fighting, and that's almost
right.
saying, you know, you knock the guy knocks his wife out. And that gets a less of a penalty than the guy who's dogfighting. And I mean, it's like...
Well, that
what,
says a lot about our culture, doesn't it?
Right. What,
yeah.
are we, what are we valuing, you know?
Yeah.
What lives are we valuing? So, I mean, that's an interesting thing. But we're kind of coming up on just about the end of the show.
Yeah.
We want to...
Thank you, Gracie. Gracie Spencer, who's simply... in Newark, New Jersey, and she's absolutely fantastic, and she's young, and she's coming up, and she is going to be someone to reckon with. Thank you, Gracie.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank
Have
you.
A good day. I'll call in soon again. Bye-bye.
Assemblywoman.
Okay. Okay, Wayne Gilman.
Thank you. It was an honor, Kay, and it was an exciting show, very informative.
Well, you're always very informative. I know we are.
Well, I try. you know, I've learned everything from you, Kay.
Sure.
So one of these days, and maybe in one of our upcoming broadcasts, I want to let everybody know that, you know, a lot of history was made at WLIB Radio. And Wayne, you and my mother were a part of that history in those days. I mean, I believe you guys were working there during the Ed Koch administration, going into David Dinkins, the first American mayor, and during his entire mayorship,
right.
And I'm sure there was a lot of history that was made in those days, certainly the Tawana Brawley case, which was broken on your show, Mom, Nelson Mandela being freed from jail and coming to New York City, and I just want to talk to you guys and interview you guys in the upcoming episodes and let people know that, you know, that you guys can give us your take on history that you were there firsthand to witness, and those are very important days. Important days in terms of black history in this tri-state area, in the New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut area. And you guys were there at the forefront. And it was really some important days, certainly with the election of the first African-American mayor. And how New York City was during those years, because it wasn't as friendly a place. And some of the horrific crimes that have gone on in New York, Eric Gardner, and the stop and frisk, and it seems like deja deja vu all over again sometimes when you think about it. So I want to let everybody know that
it's gone through a transition. No, you're absolutely right. You know, and times the more things change, the more they stay the same to a certain extent. And you're absolutely right. But I would look forward to a segment like that. You know, there's so much history, and I'm grateful to have been a part of it, really. And I'm certain your mom feels the same way. There's so many different things, you know, that groundbreaking shows that were taking place there that basically set the blazed the trail for a lot that goes on today.
Yes, and we need to go back to that because we don't get a lot of that intelligent black discussion as much. I mean, there's people doing it now on MSNBC and some things, but certainly in terms of radio and talk, we need to go back to a lot more educational and informative things. So, Wayne, we're going to jump off right about now. We're coming up on the end of the show. Thanks once again for you being our co-host, Mr. Wayne Gilman.
Thank you.
Join us again next week.
And we'll talk to you next week.
On Blog Talk Radio.
Right. This is blogtalkradio.com / K Thompson Live. You can go to the website, go directly to the page and hear it. Once again, our shows are archived, so you can listen to these shows anytime you want. And when you come to this page, be sure to listen to it again and join us again next week on the K Thompson Live here on the Blog Talk Radio. My name is Eric Payne. I'm the son. You are?
K Thompson.
That's the mom. And Brother Wayne Gilman of the New Rochelle.
Thank you.
Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Okay, all the best.